Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible on KATX 97.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KATX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And with me is David Harris, my good friend and partner on this radio program, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you have any questions or comments about our program, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, or for the time being, you can also call in a question at 254-629-2621, and the message will be relayed to us. Before too much longer, we're going to have a 1-800 number where you can call in to us directly, but we're a few weeks away from that. But for now, you can email us your question or comment at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now remember that our motto is, and will always be, we have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. But I'd like to also mention that if you're listening to us on the radio and you can't quite pick us up very well, you can also go to our harrisonmoore.org website, and there you can live stream us. You just follow the directions, harrisonmoore.org, and you can go and then you can listen to us live on the Internet. We also would like to make mention of Ryan Smithy, who is our webmaster for the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible, and he has on our website past episodes of our radio programs, and so we're just thankful to him for the good things he's done in that area. And we'd also like to mention our additional sponsors on this radio program. There is the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Church of Christ in Dublin, the Church of Christ in Rising Star, and also the Church of Christ at the 4th and Stewart congregation in Brownwood, Texas. Now, we're thankful that you are in our audience, and we want you again to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and we want you to call in with questions or comments that you might have concerning the radio program. Now, we have over the last several weeks been talking about the authority of God, and we're living in a day in which God's authority is really being neglected and overlooked and sometimes really looked down upon. The words of the Apostle John surely rings true in our day. He says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And when we're living in a day when we are being bombarded on every side with immorality, television shows, movies, and music screams loudly with wickedness and corruption. And they continue to flood our homes with cheating and violence, homosexuality, adultery, nudity, and sexual innuendos. Well, in the long ago, the prophet Jeremiah said that the people had gotten to a point to where they could no longer blush. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12. And that's where we find ourselves today, in a land where people care little about God's moral law. Well, we need to realize when we talk about morality, the Bible has a whole lot to say about that. And even though the word moral or immoral is not found in the King James or the American Standard Version, still there are many words that emphasize this very idea, and one of those is holy. We are to be a holy people. As a matter of fact, the word holy is found some 611 times in the Bible. And so we are to be holy. We are to be set apart. So the Christians are to be holy and consecrated to God. Another phrase that's used to describe our immorality or the need to be moral is that we are to be unspotted from the world. We are not to be like the world. Now, David when we think about the moral standards that we live in today, a lot of people are going to their own moral standards and not really looking at what God has to say. But we've got to realize, don't we, David, that the Bible is to be our only rule as to what is moral and immoral, because it reveals the very mind of God.
No doubt about that. And what really is exasperating is the fact that many in the religious world would like to claim that we don't need to go to the Bible for any kind of authority at all. We want to have a religion that feels comfortable, and we don't want somebody thumping on the Bible all the time and say, you've got to go here, you've got to go here. And people want to convince themselves that they don't have to live by any kind of standard whatsoever. They can just kind of choose their own way and what they choose to do and just have fun in religion. And there's nothing wrong with having fun in religion, but we cannot get away from the Word of God.
Exactly.
So when we look at the Word of God, we look and we see that God has a way for us to live. He has a way for us to worship. And it's not something that we just have to stumble onto. He has given us the information that we need to be able to properly worship Him, to be able to properly conduct our lives in such a way that it will be acceptable in the sight of God. And this is what we're striving for. And as you mentioned earlier, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And right now, this morning, I heard a fellow say that it was nice to be able to go to this religion over here or that religion over here and not have the Bible pointed at you at all times. Tom, what would somebody mean when they would say something like that? What would be the intention of a statement such as that?
Well, a lot of people, David, evidently don't want to use the Bible as their sole guide in religion or in their everyday ideas and morality. You know, but David, everybody always lives by some type of standard.
Mm-hmm.
And those who do not like to live by the Bible standard are going to accuse those who do as being Bible thumpers, always pounding in us ahead with the Bible, or saying things like, we're just too dogmatic, too legalistic. But those are the kind of people who don't want to rely on the Bible as their sole guide in religion, as their sole guide in moral issues. And really what they're wanting to do, David, is to abide by their own wants and their own desires. That's why people ridicule those who stick strictly with the Bible.
Very true. Now, what we've got tonight, now remember the number to call is 254-629-2621, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We would invite you to do that. We would encourage you to do that. Get in on this conversation, and we will give you a Bible answer for your questions. Now, Tom, we have a letter that is found in our New Testament, and this is one of the letters that was written to the church at Corinth. Now, for those of our audience who are Bible students, we know that the church at Corinth was a troubled church. It was a church that was beset with problems, and they needed some answers, and they needed some answers that were correct and true and right, and the only way that they could get these answers was to get them straight from God, and that would be through the inspired Apostle Paul. And so the letters were written to Paul, telling him about all of the problems that they had, and now the answers are coming back to correct all of the problems. Now, it's interesting to note here that in this letter, not only are they talking to Paul about problems in worship, but they're also talking to Paul about their problems in their daily life, and they're looking for answers to their questions. And so Paul writes, and I want to read just five verses here in chapter 2, as he tells this church there, this group of Christians in Corinth, Greece, what the Holy Spirit would have him say. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, it's very interesting here. He has a mission to accomplish here with this congregation of people. And he wants them to understand, he says, my mission here is that your faith would stand in the power of the Word of God and not in the wisdom of men.
Do you think, David, that these people here who were listening to Paul would accuse him of beating people over the head with the Bible?
Oh, there's no doubt there would be some there that would be doing that.
But this is exactly what they needed to hear. They didn't need to hear what man thought about issues or what other people were saying about issues. What they needed to hear was what the Bible had to say, because the church in Corinth had a lot of moral issues that they had to deal with. And so we need to realize that today we have a lot of moral issues that we are going to have to deal with. And the only way we're going to adequately deal with these issues is if we get back to the Word of God. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says something about that too, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely. It says, according to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, it is through the knowledge of Jesus, not the knowledge of man. That's where we got in trouble in the first place. Now, this church that Paul was writing this letter in was in an environment much like the environment that we find in America today. And so we need to do what they did to get straightened up, and that is appeal to the authority of God, and everybody's going to be on the same page when they do it that way.
Exactly. And again, everybody appeals to some type of standard with regard to their moral convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And people who, as we would look at them, who live in an immoral way, they're appealing to some standard, and their standard is going to be different from what the Bible says. And when we start saying what the Bible says, well, people get offended by that.
Sure they do.
But we need to stand our ground, because it's the Bible. It is our only moral standard that we need to be using today to make ourselves pleasing to God, and also, really, David, a benefit to society. Whenever we get away from the Bible and the Bible's moral values, then we cause ourselves great difficulty nationwide, nationalistically, and also individually. We cause ourselves trouble when we get away from Bible moral principles.
No doubt about that. So then, what we're going to talk about today is how people look at these standards. And you mentioned just a moment ago, everybody's got some standard. Now, it may be a weak standard, it may be a wrong standard, but it's still a standard. Now, they're using the wrong standard for their decisions and what to do about morals and what to do about those things that are immoral. And we need to notice today some of the false standards that are being used by the world in which we live, Tom. And we want our audience to know that these standards that we're about to discuss here may be your standards, and you need to take a good look at your standard and see that it measures up with God's standard, because He's got the only standard that's going to be the right standard. So where do we need to start here with all of these wrong standards?
It seems to me, David, that one of the biggest standards that people use today to bring their various moral issues to front is that I just like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
What I like, what I think is the right way, it's all about what they think. You know, Jeremiah said long ago, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so the prophet Jeremiah here, by inspiration, is telling us that we are not to be the kind of people who are going to be involved in directing their own steps. And so what I like or what you like or what somebody else likes is not our moral standard, should not be our moral standard. Because, you know, our moral issues, our moral standards, if we allow just what I think and what you think to be our moral standards, well, I might think it's all right for me to punch you in the nose. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't match up to your moral standard. What I like doesn't mean anything. What matters, morally speaking, is what the Bible says, and that is what the prophet Jeremiah is telling us very clearly. It's not our way, it's God's way, morally speaking.
Right. And another way that people use a wrong standard is they give heed to the I feel standard. Well, I just feel this or I just feel that, but the Bible says that the flesh is not our standard. Now, when we go to the letter that was written by the Holy Spirit to the churches at Galatia, and there, beginning in verse number 16, Paul would pen this for us. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now notice this, Tom. "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now this is one of the standards that people use. This is what I feel. Now here are the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what he has just got through telling us there is that it doesn't make any difference how you feel about a situation. If it is wrong according to God's standards, the way you feel about it is not going to change the truth of the matter.
And that's exactly right. You know, and that's very much akin to what we just mentioned. I just like it that way. Or I just feel in my heart. You know, how many times do you hear, "I just feel in my heart, mm-hmm. David, this is the right thing to do."
Mm-hmm.
Well, our feelings can be wrong. But also, closely connected to these two ideas is, for many people, what they want is their sole guide in moral issues. And, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, "And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil." You see, people, David, are doing the things that they do today, immorally speaking, because they just want to do
mm-hmm.
it. And that is very dangerous for us as a nation. It's very dangerous for us as a family. It's very dangerous for us as a group of God's people. It's very dangerous for us individually to just simply do what I want, especially when your wants are diametrically opposed to God's wants.
Well, just to give you a little illustration here, I know personally of men that I grew up with who became alcoholics. And their wives would try to get them to stop being the alcoholic that they wanted to be. And finally they would put down the ultimatum: "You either choose to stay with your alcohol or I'm leaving. I can't stay in this house any longer with this alcoholic." And they would make the comment, "This is what I want and this is what I'm going to do. And if you're going to leave, then you need to leave." And so they would choose something like drunkenness over their entire family just because that's what they want. That has become their standard. This is what I want. This is what I choose. It doesn't make any difference what God wants. It doesn't make any difference what your family wants. It's all about what I want.
Exactly. Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to call in. The message will be relayed to us at 254-629-2621, or you can also email us your comment or your question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, David, also there are people today who simply have the standard of I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I think is a standard for numerous souls today. But the Bible says, David, doesn't it, that God has a much higher way than our way.
There's no, yeah, absolutely. And Isaiah writes about this. God, through Isaiah, speaks to the to the Israelites. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8, this is what he tells them. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And he goes on to say, my words are not going to return back to me void. It will not. These are my thoughts. And the words going out of my mouth, God says, and it will not return to me void. It will do what I please.
That tells us the power of God's word, mm-hmm. and why it should indeed be our standard for our moral values in life. And whenever we begin to think that our ways are higher than the ways of the Lord, we get ourselves in big trouble. Now, David, I've even heard people who claim to be religiously minded who think that their thoughts are better than God's thoughts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just absurd. And when it comes from people who claim to be Christians, who think their ideas, their thoughts are greater than God's thoughts, well, they're in big-time trouble. And our nation, David, is in big-time trouble. Our families are in big-time trouble because we do too much I-thinking instead of getting back to what the Bible has to say regarding moral issues like homosexuality and abortion and you could even put the moral issue in here with regard to the attack of the Libyan embassy. You know, that's a moral issue also.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would use the Bible as our guide, well, we could solve these problems. But instead, our liberal politicians are doing too much, I think, instead of getting back to what the Bible has to say.
Right, right. Well, and then another standard that a lot of people use, and teenagers pick up on this pretty quick, it is the standard, well, everyone else is doing it standard. And you may be one of those young people in high school, junior high, that are going to school with a bunch of folks, and everybody is doing what you want to do that is wrong, but you're inclined to do it because everybody else is doing it. But that's not the standard. It doesn't make any difference how many people are doing it. The fact that you've got a great number of people doing wrong does not make the wrong right. And as a matter of fact, Moses would tell his people as he was leading them through into the promised land, he said, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." And so the multitude, it doesn't make any difference if you're one standing alone. If you're doing right and the multitude is doing wrong, you are on the right side of God's standard.
Exactly. And I remember very clearly, David, as a young boy, trying to get my dad to agree to let me do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd tell him, "Well, Dad, everybody else is doing it." And then I heard these infamous words. He said, "Tommy, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you want to jump off a cliff also?" And you know, you made a valid point.
Right.
Just because everyone's doing it, or just because the majority is doing it, does not make it right. What makes something right is it found in the Bible? Is there Bible authority for it? Does the Bible condemn this act? Then we have our answer, and
right.
Not the majority. But you know, David, also, some people have the mentality of, you know, it just seems right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the philosophy of countless millions. But the Bible also says something much different than that as well, doesn't it, David?
Through inspiration, Solomon writes, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so it may seem right to us. In our eyes, a thing may seem right because we've seen a lot of people do it, or because that's what they want, or because I feel, or because I like it, or I think. But the end thereof are the ways of death. When you get away from the Word of God, God most clearly and definitely tells us that these are the ways of death. Now, on this program, and now we brought these standards, these different standards, wrong standards that the world is using today, and we brought these up for a reason. Because we want you to see today just a couple of things that we brought up. These are current issues that are facing our nation today, and these issues that we're talking about, they were brought about because people felt this way or because it's what they wanted or because they thought about it or because everyone else was doing it. And we get right back again to this homosexual marriage issue. Now, it seems like we have spent an awful lot of time on this, Tom, and one of the reasons that we do is because about every 2 or 3 weeks, another radical homosexual agenda is being thrown out there to the normal people of this world and say, you're going to take this whether you like it or not. You're going to accept this whether you like it or not. And here lately has come up a new issue, and this one comes all the way down from Canada. Now, you know, when we look at our Bibles and we see the United Kingdom become divided and Northern Israel is taken into captivity and the Southern Kingdom watched their brethren be taken into captivity because they were involved in all the wrongdoing, you would have thought that they would have gotten the idea seeing it happen right before their very eyes, but they didn't.
They did not.
Now, we look at Canada, and in 2005, Canada nationwide approved of the homosexual marriage issue. Nationwide, they approved that in 2005. Well, you thought that would have put the end to all of the griping and the bickering and the posturing by the radical homosexual agenda. What else could you want? Now you've destroyed the family. What else do you want there, Tom?
Well, now, David, they're trying to lower the consenting age to 14 sexual acts. So they're saying that what they're wanting to do, David, now is to make law where an adult man can legally have sexual relationships with one of the same sex at the age of 14.
Now, let me get this right. They're not satisfied with the homosexual marriage issue being resolved. Now, they want to go and have a new law which would lower the age of consent to 14 to young boys having relations, sexual relations, with perverted homosexual men.
We wax worse and worse in sin, David. Sin progresses. And when you allow sin to become a part of a nation or a people or an individual, things don't just stop there. They're going to continue. Now, David, we're living in a day when they're trying to promote in the United States of America now this homosexual marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we look, as you mentioned a moment ago, the nation of Israel, and they went off, and Judah just sit there and watch it happen, didn't learn their lesson, are we going to sit by and look at what has happened to Canada and not learn our lesson? Or are we just going to fall right into it and get involved in the horrible sexual perversions that they're on the road to if things didn't stop?
Well, let me reiterate what we brought up last week. This is on the Democratic platform. This is something that anyone can look up on the Internet. You want to look up the Democratic platform, just type it into Google and you'll get the Democratic platform. On page 53 of the Democratic National Platform, in other words, everybody running on this Democratic ticket is for this, or they wouldn't be running on the Democratic ticket. They'd be getting off the Democratic ticket. But here's what it says, freedom to marry. We support the rights of all families to have equal respect, responsibilities, and protections under the law. We support marriage equality and support the movement to secure equal treatment under the law for same-sex couples. We support the full repeal of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act and the passage of respect for the Marriage Act. They want to totally destroy the home in the United States of America. And through history, any nation, Tom, if you destroy the home, you've got the nation destroyed.
Exactly. You know, and we've looked at, over history, David, we have learned that of all the nations who falter over the years, the ones who have faltered are the very ones who have taken God out of their world. As a matter of fact, of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them have collapsed when they have reached the moral state that the United States is now in. And so we realize this is a very serious, serious time, David, in our nation. And if we don't stand up and fight against these kind of platforms like the Democrats now are focusing on, our nation is in big, big trouble.
Now, we're not making this up. I wouldn't care what you call this platform. Whoever's got this platform has developed a standard that is absolutely, totally opposed to any right standard according to God. Now, I don't care whether it's a we like it this way or I feel that way or we want this or I think this or everybody else is doing it or it just seems right to me. It doesn't make any difference what standard you come up with. This standard is opposed to anything that God would have us have in our nation, and you destroy the home. They want to repeal, a full repeal of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. We didn't even have to have a Defense of Marriage Act until the last couple of years to defend the right for one man to one woman for life. Just to have that in, as part of law, we had to have a Defense of Marriage Act and another one, Respect for Marriage Act. We didn't used to have these things, but it is because of this push from the immoral segment of our society and the fact that Christians have sat there with their lips closed and not saying a word about it, thinking that it's going to go away somewhere. Just ask our Canadian neighbors how that's working out for them.
Exactly. Now, we're up against a break. We're going to have more to say about this on the other side of the break. You are now listening to the HPRN Network.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine. And some continued dancing, enjoying the music and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. In the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I'm here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We encourage you to pick up the phone and give Chloe a call in Eastland, Texas at 254-629-2621, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, if you'll call Chloe, she'll get the message to us, and we will address your question. We'll give you a Bible answer, because our motto here on this program is you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is our motto because we are thoroughly involved in holding up and upholding the authority of God. We do believe, as the Bible teaches, that we need biblical authority for every single thing that we do, for the way that we live, for the way that we worship, for the things that we say and the things that we do. We've got to have biblical authority. Now, we also have, we would like to mention, too, that we have a couple of additional sponsors on our program now: Bangs, De Leon, Dublin, Rising Star, the Fourth and Stewart, all Churches of Christ, and we want to thank Ryan Smithy also as our webmaster. And by the way, Ryan Smithy is the preacher at the Fourth and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, and they have a gospel meeting going on this week. It started yesterday. It'll be going on tonight. It'll be there tomorrow and Wednesday, and we encourage you to go by and pay them a visit there at the 4th and Stewart Street congregation. Josh Romo will be the preacher there, and he'll do you a good job. You will be glad that you went. Now, what we have been talking about is biblical authority. And we spent a little time just in the last segment talking about the false standards that people have today. And this is nothing new. These standards are standards that people have used all their since biblical beginnings here to try to justify to do things that they want to do rather than what God wants them to do. And so we mentioned some of these wrong standards that people are going by, what one likes and how one feels and what they want and how they think, and everybody else is doing it and it just seems right. These things get us in all kinds of trouble. We mentioned the trouble that Canada is in right now because people are doing things according to the wrong standards. And this progression of sin, if you have been with us here for the short time that we've been on the HPR network, you will notice that we continue to mention the progression of sin, because once sin is established in somebody's life, it doesn't stay still, does it, Tom?
It does not.
It is always on the move, and it is in a progressive state. It's always going to get worse and worse and farther away from God. Now, what we got in this came into my office on the 11th day of this month, and it has a real catchy title to this article. It says, Children's Rights Movement Denies Kids Life-Saving Treatment. Now, that terminology, children's rights, this is something that we've run into over and over and over again. Children's rights sounds good, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And words like children's rights sound good, words like Planned Parenthood sounds good. Words like abortion sounds way better than murder. And words like safe sex sounds a whole lot better than unsafe sex.
And or gay and homosexual.
Right. And so this is a tactic that liberal people use to try to promote their agenda. And so they're calling this children's rights. And folks, if you don't realize what we're talking about here, is this children's rights is a movement that is attempting to hijack parental rights and, as a result, prematurely end the life of ill children. Now, you're getting that right. What they're trying to do is end parental rights, give the parental rights to government so that they can kill ill children because they are claiming that they are fighting on behalf of the children. Now, this is going back to that wrong standard that we were talking about. This is what happens when you get away from God's standard. Now, in a recent article that came out in the Journal of Medical Ethics, it outlines the suffering and the torture, as they call it, supposedly inflicted by parents who insist on continued medical treatment for their sick children. The authors of the review are two doctors, Dr. Joe Brierley and Dr. Andy Petros, two pediatricians from Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children in London. They argue that subjecting children to treatment when, in their opinion, Tom,
underscore opinion,
a child is terminally ill, they say that subjecting that child to treatment is inhumane.
That's a horrible thing, Dave. You know, you think about that issue there of being inhumane to treat a child who is terminally ill. Now, David, if that we allow this to happen, a person's opinion as to who is terminally ill is going to be changing over time. In Obamacare and things of that nature, they're already beginning to change the terms of people who are a benefit to society or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're beginning to withdraw certain procedures from them because, you know, after all, you're too old and you really can't function. You're not going to be any benefit to the nation. And now they're telling parents that you cannot be involved and you don't have any say in the care of your children and leaving it totally over to a doctor who's probably going to be pressured from the outside by various insurances not to take care of that child. And they're saying this is the child's rights. But what they're doing, David, is getting away from God's moral standard and getting into more of this I think so's, I want, and things of that nature. And they're going away again against God's moral standards.
This is absolutely horrendous that this would even be thought of. I didn't even think that we could think this way in the society that we live today. We wouldn't even think this way about a dog, much less a child. But these two doctors, according to this Journal of Medical Ethics, these two doctors reviewed 203 cases at the hospital neonatal intensive care unit where parents were advised that life support systems should be turned off for the children because recovery, in view of the hospital staff, was unlikely. 70% of the deaths at that unit resulted from withdrawing medical care. 7 out of 10 of those babies died when they listened to the doctors, Tom.
You know, and I agree that doctors have some expertise in this area. But how many times, David, have doctors told us there's no hope for this person, and yet, over a period of time, they survive?
Mm-hmm.
They're asking parents to give up hope. They're asking parents to give up prayer. They're asking parents to just really give up on their child. And what parent, David, what parent really wants to give up on their child? If there's even the slightest amount of hope, wouldn't a parent want that?
Certainly they would. Now, we're talking about the authority of God. Now, not only are they asking parents to give up their hope, but they're asking parents to give up their faith in God. The faith that God has given them through the Word of God here, and their parental responsibilities to do everything in their their capabilities to ensure that their children are going to live. Now, it's a baffling thing that they want to make this a law that they take the rights away from the parents and they give it to the doctors so that the government can dictate who lives and who dies. Does this not sound just a little bit like Nazi Germany?
It does. You know, and these authors explain, David, the religious beliefs of parents, they say, can lead to children being potentially subjected to burdensome care in expectation of miraculous intervention. And since the children being cared for are usually too young to subscribe to religious beliefs of their parents, doctors should not be beholden to their parents' faith in determining care. You know, if I can't pray to God that my child be healed, what has our nation done but take away our religious freedoms? And just because our children do not understand our religious beliefs at this time, does that mean we can't pray for them? That we can't hope God will intervene providentially some way in their care? Are we just to sit back and let them die and say all the while that we're really, instead of helping our children, we're being a detriment to them and we're being inhumane? Can you believe us being called inhumane because we want our child to live and we're praying to God about it?
Well, this is what you call resting words or twisting words around. And again, we we see the terminology again. They call inhumane trying to keep a baby alive. They call inhumane trying to impose the parental faith upon the child before the child ever knows it. And so then the doctor should be able to step in here because that child doesn't know anything about biblical faith or God or Jesus or the Lord. So because they don't know anything, then the doctor is responsible for taking this completely out of the parent's hand and deciding whether that child lives or dies.
And notice this other quotation here, David. It says, the experience and advice of doctors must not be held ransom to the parent's religious belief, however strongly held.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're just going to bypass
our
religious ideas with regard to the health care of our children. And, they're just going to say, parents, you no longer have any say. If these guys get what they want, they will no longer have any say, parents will, in the treatment of their children.
Right.
Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to call in at 254-629-2621 or email your question or comment to questions@harrisonmoore.org.
Now, what we're talking about here is bypassing God's standard for a wrong standard, whatever that standard may be. And we can pick up where we left off just a moment ago. We talked about what one likes, I feel, what they want, what I think, everyone else is doing it, it just seems right. It really doesn't matter because no one will see me. Now, I've heard that an awful lot. People seem to think that they can get off into a honky-tonk out here where all of the lights are turned out and go in there and drink and be a part of some reveling that goes on in there, and nobody is going to be the smarter. You walk back out of there, and nobody's hurt, nobody knows, nobody can ever tell. But the Bible tells us that God, the omnipotence and the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He knows everything, and he knows what's going on.
Exactly.
God knows.
And Solomon said that very thing in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible is just filled, Dave, with passages telling us that God is omnipresent, and there is no place that God is not. And he knows exactly everything going on in our life. We cannot hide it from him. So having the idea, it doesn't really matter, no one will see me, well, someone does always see you, and that has to be at the very forefront of our understanding of what moral issues are all about. What does God say?
Yeah, what does God see, what does God say, and how does God want us to be about this? Now, here is one that some use, and I do believe that these doctors that we were talking about were using this one themselves, but it's for a good cause. Children's rights, oh, it's for a good cause.
That sounds great, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does. The Planned Parenthood, oh, yeah, but it's for a good cause.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we can just override every bit of the authority of God by coming up with this idea, but it is for a good cause, but the Bible condemns what these people are trying to do.
Exactly. And so we've got to realize, David, that our moral issues do not depend on our so-called for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you consider to be a good cause might be different than what somebody else considers to be a good cause. And so we've got to get back to what God says. The ends do not justify the means. Our standards are not based upon what good we might think would come.
Mm-hmm.
Our standards are to be based upon what God says. Now, again, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd like for you to call in with a question or comment. 254-629-2621, or you can email us a question or a comment at questions@harrisonmoore.org. But you know, David, sometimes people also say, well, God did not specifically say not to do this thing, so it'd be all right to do it. Well, what does the Bible say about that, David?
You know, we have a tremendous illustration in Leviticus chapter 10. And before any of you go to thinking that, no, yeah, we do not live under the laws of the Old Testament. No, we do not live under those laws of the Old Testament. But the principles of righteousness that we find in the Old Testament, those principles of righteousness are all brought forward into the New Testament. Now, the example that is given to us here, and we're told in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, here is an illustration that should hit home with everybody, for those especially that say, well, God did not specifically say to do that. Well, here Nadab and Abihu were sons of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. Nadab and Abihu were his sons. They were priests working in the temple. They had specific orders as to what to do. And so in Nadab and Abihu, chapter 10 of the book of Leviticus, verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, let me stress that. God did not say, you shall not offer this kind of fire. But he did tell them what to offer.
Exactly.
And there went out fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then in verse number 10, he tells Aaron, he says, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. You better understand what is holy, and you talked about that at the beginning of this lesson. That which is holy is according to God's standard. That which is unholy is not. That which is clean is according to God's standard. That which is unclean is not. Now, these men decided to offer something different. God said, you offer me a specific kind of fire, Nadab and Abihu, and I'm sure that, like a lot of young men, because they were the sons of the high priest, thought that, you know, they could just substitute something, and so they did. They substituted something, and when they did, God rejected it, and they died before the Lord.
Exactly. Now, David, we got us a question or a comment that has come in by via email. It comes from Barry.
Okay.
And it says, and the question, we can't pray, but Muslims can stop traffic in New York and pray, and we do nothing?
Yeah.
They are not afraid of repercussions, but we are. If we don't get back to being strong in the Word, there will be prayer. There won't be prayer in schools, but there will be three times a day prayers to Allah. You see, David, we're not standing up to what we believe. The Muslims are, and they're getting their way. And until Christians start standing up for what they believe in and fighting for what is right and true, fighting for our moral values, fighting for our religious freedoms, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You know, this kind of reminds me just a little bit of what we were talking about just a moment ago in Canada. The government of Canada issued a statement based upon this same-sex marriage thing, and people were trying to speak up against it, and I forget what branch of government this woman was involved in, but she said there, we will not tolerate differences concerning these homosexuals. Well, my question on that is, what about our differences? Why is it always about the homosexual differences? Why is it always about the Muslim differences? Why is it not about our differences and our preferences in this United States of America, which is supposed to be a Christian nation?
Exactly, David. You know, President Obama was afraid of offending the Muslim religion. But he has no problem offending you and I by giving our taxpayers' money to the aborting, the killing of little children. Where is our
offenses?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a one-way street for these guys. This liberal agenda that's being pressed down our throats, they care about everybody else except moral Christian people. At least it seems that way.
Well, see, we need more listeners like Barry, who's not afraid to speak up and stand up for what is right according to God. And this is our problem. And Barry, we thank you for the input in the show here. And you brought up a very, very important point. And it is a point that we've made in the past, and we need to bring it back up again, Tom. If we don't stand up for what is right according to God, who will? You're not going to get a Muslim to stand up for that which is right according to God. You're not going to get a homosexual fornicator to stand up for that which is right according to God. And you're not going to get a heterosexual fornicator to stand up for that which is right according to God. If they did, they wouldn't be acting in the way that they are.
Well, they're standing up for their own personal rights instead of standing up for what God has to say. And you know, David, the only rights that I am concerned about are the rights of those people who are abiding by God's moral standards,
mm-hmm.
God's authority.
Right.
You know, and it seems, David, that even the people in our prisons have more rights than a Christian person outside the walls of a prison.
No doubt about that. It's their rights are protected. The working man's rights today, we're about to lose them all if we don't stand up for what is right according to God.
You know, another thing that people say sometimes, David, well, it's not against the law. Well, if it's not against the law, they say, well, it's all right for us to do it. You know, there are things like adultery is not against the law of our land, but it is against the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality is not against the law until recently, but it is against the law of God. Pornography, buying a Playboy or whatever books they have nowadays, is not against the law, but it is against the law of God. The Bible says very clearly, David, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, that we ought to obey God rather than men.
Now, and what he's making reference there to is a law trying to be imposed on them, and Paul and or Peter and John are sticking their heels in the ground and said, look, don't be imposing the law of the land over and above the law of God, because we will not accept it. We refuse to accept it. We've got about 4 minutes left here, Tom, and we always want to close, and we want to thank Barry for the question or the comment that he made, and we want to thank all of our listeners tonight. But there's something that is very, very important, and this also has to do with God's standard of right. This is God's standard. It is God's law in the New Testament as to how to become a Christian, how to become a child of God. And we start by hearing the Word of God, because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to have faith, Tom, or we cannot be pleasing to God. We cannot be a Christian by accident.
Exactly. And you know, just believing in God is not enough, David, because Jesus also said, the very one, same one who said we needed to have faith, tells us also that unless we repent of our sins, we're going to perish.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 13, verse 3 says, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
And believing and repenting is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
But he still expects us to confess his name before men, because in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, he says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And so when we have our faith, when we repent, and when we confess, we're still not there.
Exactly. And that same Jesus who said we needed to have faith, and that we needed to repent, and that we needed to confess his name, also said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so Jesus says baptism is also essential for one to become a Christian, to become saved.
And that baptism that he requires is also, it has a purpose. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 tells us it's for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16, the gospel preacher Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, and now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away the sin, your sins. Now, it's essential that we have those sins washed away, because if we're going to a home that heaven is prepared for, that God has prepared for us, heaven, our Father's house, it is a holy place.
Exactly.
And that which is sinful cannot enter.
Exactly. And, David, there's really one more final step, and it's the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to remain faithful to the day we die. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death. Well, David, we're about out of time, and we've had a wonderful show today. We've had we had another email that just came in here at the last minute, but we don't have time to deal with it, but we'll possibly deal with that next week. We're delighted that you're in our audience. We hope that y'all will get back to the Bible for your moral standards. And, David, to close us out.
Well, we want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and we want to pray for our troops, pray for the safety of our troops. I know they're in some harm's way now, those especially over in the Libya-Afghanistan area. We pray for their safety. We pray for their safe return. We want to plead to God, please be patient with us.
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622. The number again, 254-629-2622. Or email your questions to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible. Heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR network. Jesus,